I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. This is Pastor Williams, glory to God, telling you once again that it is the Word of God is right. Amen. And we love the Word of God because it is right. Glory to God. We're in Proverbs, the 19th chapter. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 4th verse. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 4th verse. And I want to give a shout out to my brother in way out in Sumter in the country, Robert Lee. I want to say hello to my Robert Lee. Glory to God. Bless you, Robert. Glory to God. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Wealth maketh many friends. That's the King James Version. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now, before I speak on that, I want to give you what the Positive Thinking Bible says, the version 19:4. It says, in the Positive Thinking Bible, the rich have many friends, the poor have none. The rich have many friends, but the poor have none. Glory to God. You know, it seems to be saying that because a person is rich, they have many friends. But we know from human nature and knowledge that the rich don't have many friends. It seems like, okay, let's read 19:4 in the King James. In the King James, it says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Here it says that the money makes, it's the wealth that makes the many friends. Amen. And why is that? Because people like being around wealthy people because they might get something from them. Amen. This verse in the King James lets us see deep into the human heart of human beings. Because the fact that wealth makes the friends is proof of the innate selfishness of the human heart. And the fact that the poor is separated from his friends, they're separated because his so-called friend wants only those friendships that will benefit them. Amen? Deep in the human heart, in the recesses of the heart, these sentiments are in people's hearts. Amen? If you have something to offer, I want to be your friend. If you have nothing in my eyes, if you have nothing to offer, I don't want you for my friend. I'm sorry to say this, but it's the truth anyhow. Pastor one time, and only for a few moments, they introduced me to this gentleman. He was an older gentleman, and he said to me, "Oh, you're Pastor Williams?" I said, "Yes." "So glad to meet you." He said, "Do you know Bishop so and so?" And I said, "No, sir. I don't know him." He said, "Well, do you know Apostle such and such?" And I said, "No, I don't know him either." "Well, do you know Bishop such and such?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, you don't know nobody, do you?" And he didn't want to be my friend. Amen. There's people who, if in their eyes you don't have anything to offer, they're not in it for the friendship. They're in it for something. Amen? And in the New Living Translation of 19:4, it says, wealth makes many, and in quotation marks, it has friends. Poverty drives them all away. Wealth maketh many friends. Poverty drives them all away. Now, that's interesting because one of the problems that the wealthy have is that they don't know who are their true friends or who is just in it for the money. So both the poor and the rich have true friendship problems. What problems does the poor have then? We're in the 19th verse of Proverbs. I mean, the 19th chapter, excuse me. We're in the 19th chapter of Proverbs. We're at 4, but look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting unto him. Amen. It says, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. My goodness. Is that right? The question becomes then, why do all the brethren of the poor hate him? Or why is the poor separated from his brethren or from his neighbor? Amen. And you'll find, glory to God, if you've been around poor folks for any amount of time, you have the poor folks that are just their jewels. They're just jewels. Just because they're poor doesn't mean they don't have anything to offer. They can be the most giving, the most kind, the most. I remember I was with a poor family in New York one time. I was introduced to this poor family. And they really didn't have anything to give, not really, in the way of things substantial. But I'll never forget them because when it was time to eat, all they had was potato chips. And do you know, they offered me those potato chips. We sat and we had potato chips. I mean, that was it. That's all they had. And I thought, I wasn't saved at that time, but even not being saved, I recognized that these people were some of the greatest people on the earth. Here they didn't have nothing to give, but they gave what they could. Amen? And so there are poor folks. I don't want to lump them all in the same category. There are poor folks that are just, they're just overboard. Even in the Bible, it talks about the saints of God, the poor saints of God, and one city that gave of the out of their poverty, their liberality abounded to greatness because of their giving. Amen. And then Jesus said, the poor you shall have always with you. He didn't say that we would be poor, the saints of God would be poor, but he said the poor you'll always have, they'll always be with you. Amen. Glory to God. And so, but here in the seventh verse, it says, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. So what are we talking about here? There's another kind of poor person. Amen? Another kind of poor person. And the question becomes, why is the poor separated from his neighbor? And why does his neighbor hate him? Amen? And that's because, beloved, the poor in this category, they violate the laws of God. They violate the laws of God. You see, God created this universe with certain natural and spiritual laws. And one of the greatest laws is give and ye shall receive. Give and ye shall receive. When you think about things, for your automobile to go, you got to give it gas. You give it gas, it gives you back going. Amen? You go on a job. You have to work. You have to give and put out some productivity. And on Friday or whenever you get paid, they give you a paycheck. But you got to give them some labor first. Amen? If you are interested in a beautiful young lady or a handsome man, you don't just walk up to them, if you're a lady, and say, I want all your money. or you don't walk up to a lady and say, I want to be with you the rest of my life. No, you have to give. You smile. You talk to them. You get to know them. Amen. You give. The Bible has it set up. Amen. The trees of the earth, glory to God, the earth has to give them nutrients and water. And what do they do in proper season at harvest? They bring forth fruit. Amen. God has set up this whole universe in a giving and a receiving cycles, in cycles of giving and receiving, glory to God. And a lot of times the poor, the only thing they want to do is receive. And in their mind, they're telling themselves, they would tell themselves that they would give, but they constantly tell themselves, I'm poor, I'm poor. I have nothing to give because I'm poor. I would give, but I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor. And so without realizing it, they can violate the great spiritual laws in the universe. The great law is you reap what you sow. And the poor see themselves as having nothing, and so they sow nothing. They sow nothing. If you sow nothing, beloved, how are you going to reap? You got a great big field out there. Amen? I remember when I was in Texas, they have the big, gigantic fields, combines, great big, huge combines. They do commercial farming, big-time commercial farming. Hundreds of thousands of acres, amen. And those at planting time, they got those planting big huge machines out there punching seed into the ground. Thousands of acres. It's so big the machines have to do it. A human being could never cover all that ground. But then at harvest time, they got other kind of combines. And those big, huge, and you can hear them when they're turning around because they make, when they're going, they're just going. But when they turn around, they got to lift up the huge blades on them, and they make noise and all that kind of stuff. But the point is that they're sowing, amen? They sow hundreds and thousands of acres. So that, because why? Because they know harvest time is coming, amen? And you can be a part of harvest, or you can miss harvest. If you sow nothing, you'll miss harvest time. Because as sure as night follows day, harvest is coming. And the only way you can be a participant in the harvest is if you sowed something. Oh, but you can go and work as a workman. Well, you're sowing your labor. In order for you to eat at that harvest, you got to sow some labor, or to receive some money for working in the harvest. You got to sow some labor. Amen. You reap. The Bible, Jesus, God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you sow nothing, you're going to reap nothing. Amen. Oh, but the poor, they don't sow anything, but there's organizations that give them things. They receive what, yes, they may receive short term. They may eat today, but what about tomorrow? They're in a dilemma. What do I do about tomorrow? What do I do about tomorrow? So the give and you shall receive, they view themselves as having nothing. The Bible says, he who waters shall be watered also himself. You can't, if you, the poor believe in their mind, they can do nothing. They can water. You can smile. You can have something positive to say. Amen. You know, I came up with a my own proverb on this proverb that says, he who waters, waters also himself. This is an Aaron Williams proverb off of that proverb. My proverb that I made is, a bucket cannot draw out water without itself getting wet. Cannot draw out water. What is it doing when it's drawing out water? It's working. It's doing something. But in doing something, it itself gets wet. Amen? If you want something, you got to get in it. You got to get in that mix. You got to be there. Amen. You have to draw out. Amen. So many times the poor believe that they have nothing to offer, so they don't even try to draw out. They're looking to receive. Hold on. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on. Hold on. Be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Beloved, we were talking about Proverbs 19:4. What the Positive Thinking Bible says, the rich have many friends, but the poor have none. And we were considering why the poor have none. Amen? Because, as we were saying before the break, that a bucket cannot draw out water without itself getting wet. And the poor want to be watered. They wait for the bucket to pour out on them. They wait. They're sitting around waiting. And if the poor, if they are not careful, they can develop a poverty mindset. A poverty mindset. A poverty mindset is a mindset that sees itself poor and having nothing. I'm poor. I don't have anything. I'm poor. And a poverty mindset, they're always looking or asking for something. Poverty mindset, they're thinking that there's nothing they can do because they are poor. They say, I would give if I, but I don't have anything. Amen. They think there's nothing they can give. They can give. They don't realize that they can give a great deal. Their attendance at somebody's church would be a blessing. Their smile at somebody, speaking to somebody and saying something pleasant, can change a whole person. Can make a whole person's day. Amen. They think they don't have, because they don't have nothing to give, they think that they can't do anything. How about praying for people? Amen. How about praying for people? How about seeking God? A poverty mindset is they can think God, and they can think and analyze on a low level, on a poverty level. And also they can develop nasty social habits or bad hygiene. Or terrible vocabulary, even profanity. I mean, some poor people, they can be something to be around. You just want to give them something and get away from them. Amen? Glory to God. Because they developed a poverty mind. And because they find themselves in a poor situation, they can get angry because they don't understand. Why don't more people help me? Don't they see that I'm in need? Don't they see that I need help? Why aren't people helping me? I pulled up to a light, and this gentleman was begging, and he came up to the car window. I think I gave him $2 or something like that. I forget how much it was. And he was a little upset, and I said, do you understand how inflation is roaring in this society? I just come from doing a whole lot of bills and stuff. That's all the money I have. Inflation is eating up a whole bunch. And he looked at me, he said, thank you for telling me that. I didn't really realize that. I said, oh, you saw it. Just because people pull up in cars, they're loaded with money. They got an ATM machine in the back seat. I said, some people in cars are struggling. Yeah, they got a car, but they're still struggling. They would want to give you more than $2 or $3, but they don't have more than $2 or $3. They might be just coming from somewhere where they had to spend hundreds. And he said, brother, thank you for telling me that. I never really thought about that. The poor, if they're not careful, they can see only their own need and ignore people around them. They can ignore their need. Amen? glory to God. And they think, glory to God, that there's nothing they can do, that there's nothing they can do. But there is something the poor can do. Instead of looking to man, they can seek God, they can seek the Lord and prosper. They can seek the Lord and prosper. I want to tell you real quick about a book that Norval Hayes wrote. It was that was the title of the book, Seek God and Prosper. And it was a very powerful teaching. He said, when you're stumped about something and you don't know what to do about it, you're stumped. You just don't know what to do about it. Instead of being stumped, instead of being perplexed, get in the Word and seek the Lord in that area and find out what the Lord says in that area, about that area where you're stumped in. And if you'll seek the Lord, promises that if any man asks him for wisdom, he will give him the answer. Amen? So instead of being stumped, if you really want to find deliverance and your way out, seek the Lord, and when he gives you the word for you, that'll cause you to prosper. If you'll act upon it and do what he says, that will cause you to prosper. And I found that that's true in my life, glory to God, that when I come up upon something, I've got to find the answer. I've got to find it in the word, or I've got to find it seeking God. But 9 times out of 10, when I ask God for wisdom in that area, I can tell you it has never failed me. In 45 years, it has never failed me. If I go to God and ask him for the answer, if I seek God, I can't think of one time when he said, nope, can't give you the answer, sorry, I can't help you there. I mean, that's a tough one. Never, never, never. Every time I sought God, he gave me the answer, and I prospered in that area if I did what he told me. I prospered in that area, glory to God. I had my wife, my wonderful wife, her brother, had a question, and she sought the Lord for him and got the answer for him and told him the answer. He still hasn't acted on it even yet. He's still struggling too. But there is something the poor and anybody else can do. Do what Norval suggests we do. Seek the Lord and prosper. Seek the Lord and prosper. Instead of being confounded, seek the Lord. Amen? Because Jesus can help you out of any situation. Jesus can help you out of any situation because God is able to turn anything around. My God is able to turn anything around. I'll prove it to you. Pastor Williams will prove it to you out of the word. You know I'm going to prove it out the word. Go to Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew, the third chapter, the 7th through the 9th verses. The 7th verse says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, whose baptism? This is John the Baptist. This is John the Baptist. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now this is the verse, beloved. This is the verse. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able. For I say unto you that God is able. Where are you, Pastor? Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse. The Bible says God is able. Now, one day I was praying, and I was just about to get up off of my knees. I was just about going to finish the prayer. All of a sudden, this verse flooded into my mind. God is able. But the part that flooded into my mind that made me look it up is the next part. God is so powerful. Look what he can do. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Let me look that verse up. Did that verse say what I thought it said? God can raise up children from stones? from rock. God can raise up human beings. God is able. Whoa, God is able. That's the word for somebody tonight. God is able. I don't care what your situation is. Seek God and prosper. Seek God and prosper because God is able. God can raise up children unto Abraham from stones. Amen? And if he can do that, he can change your situation just like that at the snap of a finger. God is all-powerful. If God is able to make a sun, S-U-N, in the sky and hang it up there, a sun, God is able. The Bible testifies that God is able, and he can turn your situation around. Glory to God. Glory to God. Seek God. Seek God. Amen? Whatever that problem is, whatever that situation is, whatever you thought was so, oh, man, this is something. Don't worry about it being something. Just seek God. Amen? Seek God, glory to God. Seek God because he can do something about it. Amen? God can do something about it. And glory to God. In God's light, you will see light. Amen? Get into his word, glory to God, and see what he says about it. Glory to God. Jesus one time said, fear not. Believe only. Believe only. Believe only that God has a word for you. God has a solution to your situation. Amen? Seek the Lord because he's able. The Bible says he's able. Do you believe he's able? Glory to God. God is able to change people's destiny. God is able to make it possible for them to do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you will be able to do every good work that he calls you to. The Lord is able. The Lord is able to cause that wayward son or daughter to start acting right, to come back home, to act right. Amen? The Lord is able to make a way for you out of no way, glory to God. He can open up the Red Sea. The Bible testifies that he is able. Do you say what God says? Say what God says tonight. Say, God is able, glory to God, to fix my situation. Glory to God. Jesus is able to fix my situation. Glory to God. Ain't you happy, glory to God, that God is able? I'm so thankful that not only is the word of God true, glory to God, but we have a God, glory to God, that can turn any situation around, that can turn any situation around. And you know, when I read that God could raise up children from stone, that boosted my faith. I got a faith boost that day. Boy, I was high stepping. My God, there's nothing impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. Seek God and prosper. Seek God and prosper, glory to God, because God will do it for you. Ask him, glory to God. He got the answer. Amen? He got the answer. He said, fear not, only believe. Only believe. Do you know how your whole life would change? Think about it for just a moment. Do you know how your whole life would change if you feared not and believed only? You'd be fearless. You'd go through life fearless. You would dominate every situation because there'd be no fear in you. Amen? And that's the way Jesus wants you to live. He wants you to realize that God is able. He can fix it. He can change it. He can make the crooked places straight. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. We give you the glory that you're able to do all things. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, be blessed out there. In Jesus' name, be blessed out there. Look to your heavenly Father, the Almighty God, and he'll turn those rocks. Glory to God. He'll change the situation. Amen. Bless you tonight. See you next week. The Bible has the answers. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.